FM, W299 CD, Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Donald Trump still wants to give the closing argument in his civil fraud trial on Thursday, but he hasn't agreed to the judge's rules.
Trump attended the trial that threatens his real estate business 9 times, and now he wants to close it. His lawyers informing the judge of the highly irregular tactic in an email last week. President Trump plans to present argument at closing. New York Attorney General Letitia James objected, but Judge Arthur Engoron said he would grant the unusual request only if Trump agreed to limit his remarks to relevant material facts that are in evidence and not deliver a campaign speech.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Mr. Trump took part in a town hall in Iowa while Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis faced off in the latest Republican presidential debate. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has suspended his presidential campaign. A federal lawsuit claims the bodies of two men who died in Alabama's prison system were missing their hearts or other organs when they were returned to the families. Daria Aldinger, ABC News. Ohio's Republican-controlled House has overridden the veto of a transgender care ban.
Republican Governor Mike DeWine of Ohio says he wants medical decisions about kids to be made by their parents, not the government. But on Wednesday, lawmakers in the state disagreed, voting to override his veto on a bill that would prevent doctors from providing gender-affirming care to anyone under 18. Doctors say surgeries on adolescents are rare and only considered on a case-by-case basis. Other gender-affirming treatment includes puberty blockers and hormone therapy, which are mostly reversible. Ann Flaherty, ABC News, Washington.
Curbing homelessness in California and increasing housing are key priorities in Governor Newsom's $291 billion state spending plan for the new budget year. Officials are calling it a first-of-its-kind program in the United States. Michigan and a group of foundations are giving pregnant women in Flint $1,500 up front and then $500 each month for the next year after birth. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Her name is Pam Jahnke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station. News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM, 107.7 FM in Richland Center. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Jahnke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe, Pam Jahnke, on News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM, 107.7 FM in Richland Center.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehelp. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A group of conservatives in Racine County are launching a recall campaign against Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Matthew Snorick of Union Grove filed the paperwork on Wednesday. He says that Voss is blocking fair elections in Wisconsin by not moving to impeach the state's top election administrator, Megan Wolf. In a statement, Voss called the recall a waste of time, resources, and effort. The Wisconsin legislature will have new political boundaries this year after December's state Supreme Court ruling. Governor Evers says it's a big step towards a more fair and functional legislature.
We are a purple state. The legislature does not reflect that. We have to have competitive races. Our present legislature does not respond to that.
Evers speaking with Up North News on Civic Media. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin travels to Ohio State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's basketball, the number 15th ranked Badgers take on the Buckeyes tonight in Columbus. Number 11th ranked Marquette is at home tonight. They're going to host the Butler Bulldogs. NFL, the Packers at practice preparing for Dallas. Jordan Love with 2 touchdowns against Chicago threw a rocket to receiver Dontavian Wicks right in the belly at the goal line. I asked him, did he know that Love had a fastball?
Yeah, he got it. I guess he seen it open fast. All I just seen was his arm. and the ball was on me. So, you know, he put it there. Had my stomach hurting a little bit, you know. But, you know, he made it play, you know, and that's our job to make plays for him.
And for the second year in a row, Mike McCarthy will face his old team. The Cowboys head coach said this time, no more questions about his days in Green Bay.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, the drama of it, I'm sure you guys will love. I will not participate this year. It's playoff time. It doesn't matter who we play, to be honest with you.
That's Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. 2 to 4 inches of snow in the overnight, lows in the upper teens. On Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, highs near 30. Snow will become likely Thursday night, especially after midnight, as a winter storm watch goes into effect. Some of that snow on Friday will be heavy. Right now, it's 25.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. There's a lot of it made this morning, a lot of it being made right now. There was skullduggery afoot. There was skullduggery afoot in the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives. They were committee hearings. In part of the hearing, one of the hearings, they were debating whether to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas, who's the Secretary for Homeland Security, talking about immigration issues. But this is also the morning when they were discussing the resolution to hold Hunter Biden in contempt of Congress for allegedly not showing up for a deposition, even though he did. So let's cut through this. Let's cut through the threats and what's going on and really get to the bottom of it. When it comes to Mayorkas, you've got to look at the entire picture. They've also voted to pursue an investigation to impeach Joe Biden himself. They've also threatened Merrick Garland with impeachment if he doesn't prosecute Hunter Biden. They've also threatened Lloyd Austin with impeachment now because they're concerned that he didn't immediately disclose his prostate cancer to them. They've also voted to reduce the pay of Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense, to $1 a year. Janet Yellen, the Secretary of Treasury, $1 a year, as well as other cabinet members. What they're doing is they're using impeachment to try to dismantle a government, a Democratic government that was elected by the people of this country in 2020 by a margin of 7 million votes, 81 million to 74 million, and by well over 30 electoral votes. In a way, it's similar to what Voss originally was trying to do in this state, which was to impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz even before she took the bench, to impeach Megan Wolf, executive director of the Wisconsin Election Commission, for simply carrying out what the commission voted for her to do. Wolf doesn't have any discretionary authority, and Protasiewicz hadn't even taken the bench. they back down in this state, largely because I talked to some Republican businessmen who always vote Republican, but the idea of impeaching a justice who hadn't even taken the bench, hadn't done any criminal conduct or any conduct, hadn't done anything wrong, was too far. It was too much. But at the national level, they think they can get away with this sort of thing. So when it comes to Mayorkas, they, in my judgment, the committee will recommend that he be impeached. They can only afford to lose two votes. They need 217 votes now for majority. They can only lose two Republicans. If they lose three Republicans, it won't even pass the House. If it passes the Senate, it's dead on arrival. It takes 67 senators to convict somebody and remove them, whether a president, a judge, a cabinet member. That would mean that all 49 Republicans would have to vote for it, and another 19 or so Democrats would have to. So it's not going to happen. And they're simply doing it to waste time and use it as a campaign slogan, as a campaign video, that kind of thing. The same with Joe Biden. They're not even, in my view, going to have the guts to submit the Joe Biden impeachment to the floor, because they, in my judgment, won't even get 217 Republican votes. There are 18 districts that Joe Biden beat Trump in that are represented by Republicans. And Ma didn't raise no fools. They do something like that, they're toast in a lot of those districts. Lloyd Austin's pay has not, in fact, been reduced to $1 a year. Neither has Janet Yellen's, or neither has any of the others, because Chuck Schumer, simply doesn't let it go to the floor where it would lose anyway. He can't block an impeachment conviction vote from going to the floor, but it's dead on arrival anyway. Now, when it comes to Hunter Biden, there were some fireworks today, and it was kind of funny to watch. Actually, it was good theater. It was good theater. They start shooting off their mouths about Hunter Biden, alleging that he didn't show up for the deposition. The truth of the matter is, he did show up the day of the deposition, but he said, I want to do it in public. Little known fact, James Comer, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, previously had said, okay, if he wants to do it in public, we'll do it in public. Then he weaseled. He reneged. He backtracked, said, no, we're not going to do it in public. Here's the deal. What the Republicans do is they'll take a deposition. They will not make the transcript available to the Democrats. And then they will take excerpts of a few things and a few statements, edit it, and release that. That's what they do. So Hunter Biden said, here I am. This is the day. This is the time. This is the location. The Capitol, outside the hearing room. Go ahead. Have at it. But it has to be in public. TV has to be able to see what's going on. There has to be a transcript that everybody can get. And they go, no. Now you're in contempt. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you about two people who were really in contempt. Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan, friend of the wrestling mat. Scott Perry, a far-right nut. Scott Perry, one of the architects of the fake elector scheme, along with Eastman and Chesbro. They were subpoenaed for depositions. They blew it off. They didn't even show up and say, I'll do it publicly. They blew it off, and nothing happened. Yet they're the two of the clowns who are saying that Hunter Biden should be criminally prosecuted for showing up but not agreeing to go into the Star Chamber room, where you can hear the whips, the leather truncheons, beating the witnesses. I'm being somewhat facetious, but not that much, because what they will release will be an edited version and will be false. That's what's happening. Now, what do we do about all this? What do we do about all this? I'll tell you what Hunter Biden did. Hunter Biden came in right at the committee room where they were going to vote and talk about holding him in contempt. That's what they did. He strolls in. He sits there. They were absolutely flabbergasted. Nancy Mace is a real piece of work. She's from South Carolina. She goes, arrest him. Not apparently, unclear on the concept, and said nasty things. And his lawyer said, here he is. Question him right now, but he's going to do it in public. He's not going to be sandbagged by you guys. We're not going to do it. Well, I'll tell you what, Marjorie Taylor Greene started to shoot her mouth off, surprise, surprise, and Hunter Biden just said the heck with it and walked out. And she says, she shouts after him, you're a coward. You know, let me tell you something. He's the only one who's not a coward. Remember something. Marjorie Taylor Greene introduced naked photographs of Hunter Biden in the Congress. Naked photographs. And they expect him that, hey, maybe he'll come here and give a secret deposition. Are you kidding me? Somebody like that, naked photographs, yelling coward, and I'm going to sit behind closed doors and put up with that? No, you're not. You're absolutely not going to do it. That's what's going on. The lines are filling up, and I'm going to go to the lines. First will be John of Los Angeles, my friend. Thanks for calling, John. What's in your mind today?
Hi, I was just thinking about, the most effective strategy for containing Donald Trump. He's obviously committed crimes, but I was wondering if the states like Colorado keeping him off the ballot is a more effective strategy than trying to prosecute and turn him into a martyr a little bit.
That's an interesting question, John. And now that goes two ways. Some people have said trying to throw him off the ballot makes him a martyr. I don't agree with that. I think if you break the law, you follow the rules. The rules are in the 14th Amendment. Paragraph 3, and you're subject to it. As far as criminally prosecuting him, I know what you're saying, but the truth is, once the evidence comes out, the polls, the vast majority of Republicans say if he's convicted by a jury, I don't want him as president. So I think it depends on the outcome of the trial, but I think it's the right thing to do. But excellent insight. Thank you, John. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. We have a couple of minutes. What's in your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, it's interesting that one of the reasons we separated from England is to avoid the whole Star Chamber kind of thing where you get dragged
right
before a secret tribunal and forced to testify. I mean, for goodness sakes, I think some of these Republicans would like to go to the old Roman method is where you're being put to the question, you had to be do it under torture. Otherwise, they figured it wasn't a legitimate questioning. I mean, these guys, you know, that he is saying, I'm willing to testify open and in public for this and for Nancy Mace and Marjorie Taylor Greene. I just read today that apparently she was personally fined $12,000, but she didn't pay the fine. Her re-election committee paid the fine for her. I mean, that is just the blatant hypocrisy of these people, and that the fact that the media needs to call it out each and every time these people do this kind of thing. And South Carolina, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. You know, South Carolina was the first of the Confederate states to actually fire on the United States, and that
right.
It's
an excellent point you're making. Absolutely an excellent point, Mark. Thanks as always for calling. Coming up, can you believe that a presidential candidate wouldn't agree in writing not to overthrow the government? Stand by. Coming up very quickly.
Gotta cut you down. Tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter.
News from the center, WRCE.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
AgDiamonds.com.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going quick to the lines. Cam of Nina, my friend, thanks for calling. Cam, what's in your mind today?
Hey, I don't know what the magnetism is to Hunter Biden, just in general in the news. I get that it's like a hot topic for the right, but it does feel a little weird because I only ever see older folks on the left ever talk about it, where younger people I have seen over and over say, we don't care about Hunter Biden, like prosecute him if he did something wrong, do whatever. If he did something wrong, I get that he's trying to stay from keeping it be private, but it's not our battle to fight for him, but it's just not. But it's kind of weird because like I feel like our focus should really be on other things like the whole Trump thing, or even at a national level, talking about Ron Johnson's involvement in the fake elector scheme. It just seems like a red herring, you know?
Yeah, Cam, that's a very good insight. And for the benefit of many of our listeners, Cam is a very young Democrat, and he brings a generational perspective that I think our party badly needs, and quite frankly, both parties badly need. And I think it's fascinating. I agree with you, Cam, that if Hunter Biden did something, he should be prosecuted. Let the chips fall where they may. I don't care. I'm not trying to protect him. But what I'm trying to say is that people like Nancy Mace of South Carolina and people like Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, you know, there's a lot of hypocrisy here. Two of their people, Scott Perry and Jim Jordan, blew off subpoenas. Nothing happened. And now they're in a bundle about Hunter Biden. And Hunter Biden at least shows up. I don't care one way or the other what happens, but he shows up. And he says, I'll speak, but I'd like to speak in public. And, you know, these are the people that have called him all sorts of names. These are congressmen. Call him a coward, and then they pull out. Apparently what happened was he had some sexual involvements, and somehow they got photographed, and they pull out naked pictures of him. Look, if we subpoenaed Marjorie Taylor Greene and Nancy Mace and it circulated naked pictures of them, you think they're going to show up in a closed committee room with us? And we wouldn't do it, of course, but of course they're not going to do it. So there's bad feeling. My feeling is these people should go ahead and talk to them. Do a deposition. What the heck? And I have a little advice from Merrick Garland, not that he ever took it before anyway, but they will submit to him that he prosecute Hunter Biden for not showing up for the deposition. Now, let's parse that. First of all, the Congress has no criminal authority. The Congress can't prosecute anyone. All they can do is ask the Justice Department to prosecute. That's all they can do. So they're going to do it. And I know Merrick Garland's not going to want to look like he's playing favorites, even though Scott Perry was never prosecuted, neither was Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan ever prosecuted. But here's my advice to Merrick Garland. There's a thing called prosecutorial discretion. And prosecutors, when they decline to prosecute, don't always put it in writing, but you should. Merrick, you should put in a declination, a prosecutorial discretion letter for non-prosecution and say this: look, this fellow Hunter Biden was subpoenaed. It's a legitimate subpoena by the Congress to come to a deposition on a date certain and a room certain. And he showed up. And he said, I want to have this deposition open to the public. I'll come into the room, but TV cameras, and you can have a pool camera, it's called. I've done this in courtrooms a lot on sensational cases. Everybody and his uncle wants to get in there. The judge goes, no, I'm going to designate one of you as the pool video. So only one camera gets in, pool video. But you have to agree immediately to share it electronically with all the other stations, even though you normally wouldn't want to do that. And they go, okay, you have a pool camera, and you don't have to let hordes of people in there, maybe one or two reporters. As long as it's a pool camera, it doesn't matter. You'll see it anyway. And that way, Hunter Biden is protected, and the Congress is protected. So he should say in his declination letter, as long as Hunter Biden is willing to do that, I decline to criminally prosecute and suggest that the Congress use the remedy that's available to him, which is to absolutely take his deposition, but have it in public. And that's what he should do. We'll see. But speaking of these characters, you take Trump. Cam said, and I think John of Los Angeles said, sounded like a young Democrat, why don't we more concentrate on Trump, not Hunter Biden? Well, I agree with that. And this blew me away. You saw it. It probably came out a few days ago, but we didn't have a chance to raise it in prior shows. Illinois, if you're on the ballot, has a pledge. And you're a candidate, and you go like this. You sign a pledge that says that I, the candidate, will not advocate for the overthrow of the U.S. government. I mean, for God's sake, you're running for president. You know, is this too much to ask? Is the bar too high? All we're asking you, Jack, is that you sign a pledge that say you won't advocate for the overthrow of the U.S. government. We don't want ISIS running for president. We don't want this one and that one running for president. No goodniks. We want folks, we may agree with them, we may not agree with them, but I'll tell you what. They got to say, I'm not going to overthrow the government. You know what? Donald Trump wouldn't sign that. Donald Trump wouldn't sign that. Donald Trump signed it in 2016. Donald Trump signed it in 2020. He won't sign it now. Remember something? He said he'd be a dictator on day one. He said only for a day. Hitler back in 1932 and 1933 said, I'll only dissolve the Reichstag for 3 years. I only want a little power right now to overturn the Versailles Agreement. Get us working again. Restore peace. And he went on, he murdered tens of millions of people. The most evil man in history. Stalin was a close second. But this guy, this clown, won't even sign a pledge that said he won't advocate the overthrow of the U.S. government. And you know why? Because he has advocated it. And I'm not just talking about January 6th, although there is that, or that he ginned up, hang Mike Pence and let them go through there, beat up cops, 5 people killed, mental injuries to cops, 140 of them out on disability. No, over and above that, he advocated that he is going to have to suspend certain rules, including the Constitution, to accomplish what America needs. That is classic demagoguery. That's classic authoritarian. It doesn't matter whether you say it's Nazi, whether you say that it's Mussolini, the fascists, whether you say it's communist, anything. That is classic authoritarian. Just for a little bit, I got to suspend the Constitution. He flat out said that. Well, I'll tell you what, coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and guess what happened to Trump doing closing arguments in Letitia James's case, coming up.
Gotta cut you down, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Donald Trump still wants to give the closing argument in his civil fraud trial on Thursday, but he hasn't agreed to the judge's rules.
Trump attended the trial that threatens his real estate business 9 times, and now he wants to close it. His lawyers informing the judge of the highly irregular tactic in an email last week. President Trump plans to present argument at closing. New York Attorney General Letitia James objected, but Judge Arthur Engoron said he would grant the unusual request only if Trump agreed to limit his remarks to relevant material facts that are in evidence and not deliver a campaign speech.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Mr. Trump took part in a town hall in Iowa while Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis faced off in the latest Republican presidential debate. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has suspended his presidential campaign. A federal lawsuit claims the bodies of 2 men who died in Alabama's prison system were missing their hearts or other organs when they were returned to the families. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State health officials are urging pregnant women to get vaccinated after 580 children in Wisconsin aged 2 and younger have landed in the hospital with RSV. 3 of them died. New RSV vaccines are also recommended for adults 60 and older. They can be had at clinics and pharmacies. Doctors are urging people to get shots for flu and COVID, too. Wisconsin is one of the leading states for vehicle crashes with wildlife. Experts fear things will get worse as more rural areas get developed.
Roads, fences, development, things like that are all types of fragmentation that decrease connectivity for wildlife to be able to move across the landscapes.
Jeremy Romero is with the National Wildlife Federation. The federal government is rolling out a pilot program. States can apply for grants to build safe wildlife crossings. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. 2 to 4 inches of snow in the overnight. Lows in the upper teens. On Thursday, mostly cloudy skies. Highs near 30. Snow will become likely Thursday night, especially after midnight, as a winter storm watch goes into effect. Some of that snow on Friday will be heavy. Right now, it's 25.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
News from the Center, WRCE.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
She's fashionably lean.
Welcome back to Matchroom Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling, Jean. What's in your mind today?
Thank you, Matt. I wanted to quick call. Thank you for covering that issue. For young people, they're probably not used to this, but for older people like myself, and I watch hearings and things going on, I've never seen anything like this before in my life. And in fact, if they had something on Hunter, they would have wanted him in front of every camera in the United States of America as they questioned him, because they had if they would have had some evidence. So this is in clandestine. This is something people need to be aware of, that they're trying to pull in our government, that this doesn't go on in our government, and this is something new that we have to watch out for. In addition to this, I feel real bad for the gentleman in the military, you know, who had a procedure done, you know, dealing with prostate cancer. And I'm familiar with different men who've been diagnosed, and as they're getting used to that diagnosis, maybe they don't want to share it right now. And I think that that was private, and them trying to impeach him or go after him on it is just outrageous. It's sick. But if you notice, they're having trouble funding the military at first. Then they go after not taking care of promotions. In addition to that, they go after our Homeland Security person and National Security person and a person that handles finances in our country. These people are hurting our country significantly, and they're tearing it down from the inside out, and other countries are paying close attention. And people who really care about our country got to pay attention to this stuff, and we all need to work together to get these people out of office, because they're very, very much a danger. Thank you, Matt. You have a good day. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Jean. You nailed it. Excellent, as always. Just let me parse a few of those things before I go to our topic. With Lloyd Austin, there are a lot of people, especially when they're facing treatment for prostate cancer. You know, it is a very private, delicate thing. In retrospect, I do think that he should have at least privately notified Joe Biden and his deputy, Ms. Hicks. That's something I think that would be appropriate. And Biden's already talked to him. He's a great Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin is. And this isn't the first time they've attacked him. They voted to cut his pay to $1 months ago, for no reason. He's been doing a great job standing up to the Russians, standing up to the Chinese. They did that to him. Then the second thing is, then they said, okay, we're not going to promote any officers. And then everybody goes, oh, it's just Tuberville. Well, no, it isn't just Tuberville. 9 Republicans could have overcome that. They didn't. Then when they finally chickened out on that one, they're still holding civilian Defense Department and NSA, National Security Agency Department, appointments. These are the civilians who interface with the 4 stars and the 3 stars when they're in combat situations, giving them essential intelligence, essential guidance. They have stuck a knife in our military over and over and over again. And the truth is that going after Lloyd Austin because he had prostate surgery to try to embarrass him publicly is about the lowest of all of it. Going back to the lines, Claire of Sun Prairie, my friend. Thanks for calling, Claire. What's in your mind today?
Yes, Matt. The situation where Trump was tried before the Senate, you know, twice, impeachment, and
right.
The legislators are voting as a jury, and yet their jobs are on the line, and they're being threatened by Trump and his base. Isn't that jury tampering? I mean, how can you expect someone to be impeached by people whose jobs are on the line? That's just totally wrong for any kind of a jury of your peers.
Yeah, you brought up a very interesting further counter argument to his idea of immunity unless he's convicted in the Senate. And that one is this, and I hadn't really thought of it in these terms, but the average jury, first of all, they're insulated from the lawyers, from anybody. They're told not to read newspapers, not to look at TV, not to look at social media about the case. And the lawyers are forbidden from contacting them. The lawyers are forbidden from contacting them. And not only that, that would be jury tampering. And at the end of the case, the lawyers have to ask permission in Wisconsin, some states you can't even do it, to debrief the jurors in public in the courtroom. And I've made that request in several juries, and it's been granted in several juries. And you learn a lot as a lawyer. You say, but the judge is watching. It's in public. They're protected. And you say, how did you come to that conclusion? And what was the evidence that, you know, I learn a lot for the next case. But that's very rare. And in some cases, you can't do it even with the judge's permission and the juror's consent. But in every state, you're forbidden from contacting them. Well, here you have a, quote, jury, end quote, the Senate, who are threatened by Trump personally and by his people. Trump will say that so-and-so's no good. You know, he's the one who said at his rallies, you know, beat up these protesters and I'll pay your legal fees. One of his bodyguards beat up a guy in New York City who he thought got too close. Trump is essentially a fascist authoritarian. Let's be just very clear about that. So when you have an intimidated Senate, some of them because of physical threat to them and their family, I told you there was one, I think he was a congressman, because remember, you're impeached in the House, you're convicted in the Senate, who had to send a bodyguard with his middle school daughter to school because his family had been threatened by Trump. Well, what happens in the Senate, what kind of jury is that? Claire makes a good point. That's not a regular jury. These people, some of them think that if they vote to convict Trump, they'll lose their seat. Others are afraid for their families. And that's just the long and short of it. So that's an excellent additional argument, to say nothing of the fact that there's nothing in the Constitution that says the president can't be held liable for crimes committed while he was in office, once he leaves office, and that it does not depend on impeachment or conviction. Well, I hate to keep mentioning Trump, largely because we're giving him oxygen. Giving him oxygen, I don't want to do that, but something did happen today. In Letitia James's case for fraud, remember, in front of Judge Erdogan in New York, Engoron, I should say, in New York, Trump had notified the court that he wanted to give part of the closing argument. So the idea would be, and that's happening right, I think, tomorrow. So the way he wanted it was his lawyers would get up and give the legal mumbo jumbo. Then Trump would get up and his hind legs in front of the jury, and he gave a political speech. That's what he wanted. So Judge just so you know, in a civil case, you can do that if you have the judge's permission. The judge has exclusive authority, and if he doesn't let you do it, you can't do it. In a criminal case, it's different. In a criminal case, you're permitted to represent yourself. And there are some defendants who won't take a public defender. The judges will sometimes assign a shadow lawyer who sits behind the rail and whispers to them. And most of these people are crazy and they say the hell with you and convict themselves. If Trump wanted to give a closing statement in the criminal case in Washington, D.C., in my view, it's very, very likely that the judge would have to let him do that, although she would not have to permit two people to give closing statements. So he couldn't say, okay, my lawyer's going to do the legal mumbo jumbo, and then I'm going to do the politics. I think she could say, you can do whatever you want, but there's only one of you speaking, so make up your mind. I said on Todd Albo's show earlier today, great show. He's a great host, great friend, and I always am honored to be invited on to do a segment on his show, where for a non-lawyer, and even for a lawyer, you've heard the phrase, somebody who represents himself, a lawyer who represents himself as a fool for a client. And that's very true. You can't sort out your emotions. But if you think you're going to get up and give a closing argument in any case, it's very similar to a guy taking a Bowie knife and trying to take out his appendix without anesthesia. I mean, that's really what it is. Trump right now in New York, Letitia James is asking for $370 million from him. 168 of it is just interest that he cheated banks out of. Now, if he gets up and shoots his mouth off, he's liable, quite frankly, no matter what he says, to make things really worse and cement his fate. But the judge just came down and said, no, you can't do it. It's a civil case. I have control. Not going to let you do it. I think that's the right decision. Go to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Dick, what's in your mind today?
Well, I think it's probably the right decision, too. But you know he's going to turn around tomorrow and rant and rave about it when he leaves the courtroom. But she did him a favor, is what she did. Because he would have made a buffoon of himself like he always did. And he would have, just what you said, he would have dug himself in deeper. In a way, I kind of wish they would have let him, because he'll hang himself out to dry.
No, you're right. In a sense, they did do him a favor because he has lawyers who can do the legal mumbo-jumbo. But the truth of the matter is that the problem with a guy like Trump, you know, a lot of people want to get up in front of a jury and, you know, there'll be a disaster. He's an accomplished speaker, sort of a seductive speaker to some people. And so depending on who's on the jury, I think that he would have to be told, because lawyers know this, you can't say something that wasn't introduced in evidence. You can't just say, make up new evidence. If something was introduced in evidence, like a document, you can oppose it, but you can't lie about it and say it was forged or something like that, even if it hadn't been introduced as evidence in the trial. But he would get up and he doesn't give a damn. Remember when CNN, Caitlin Collins, early on, CNN thought they were going to be nonpartisan and they let everybody do a town hall and they set ground rules for Trump. Trump ran roughshod over her. He doesn't care. Now, in this one, let me give you a scenario, which you may not believe, but this could happen. In the closing argument, after the mumbo jumbo, he gets up and he starts to walk to the jury box and talk to them, disobeying the judge. If you or I did that, the judge would say, sit down. And if you didn't, the bailiffs would grab you. If he says, sit down, suppose Trump gives him the bird. Or let's say he doesn't do that. He just ignores him. The only remedy, short of declaring a mistrial and continuing this thing forever, is to have the sheriff's deputies and the bailiffs seize him. Now there's Secret Service around. They presumably negotiate with him, and they lead him out of the courtroom. So this guy is such a narcissist. To what extent does he think that would help him with his base? To what extent does he think that would help him with his base? If he had a decent sense of shame or honor or, frankly, regard for the country, he wouldn't do it. But he has no sense of shame. He has no sense of honor. And he's not loyal to the country. He's simply not loyal to the country. So, you know, I theorized to one person back when he was debating Biden in 2020. Remember when he stalked Hillary? He walked up behind her and stood right behind her. You know, Biden is larger. Biden was an athlete, but Biden's also 3 years older than he is. What happens with Trump if he's running against somebody and he walks up and just punches him? What happens? He should be arrested on TV. Do not discount any of this. It's far-fetched. I understand it's far-fetched. But this guy operates outside of the law. He's a walking crime scene. So I can see him at Engoron's trial, Letitia James is getting up and talking anyway, having to be arrested. And I think Engoron has to have taken that into account. Coming up, E. Jean Carroll's case goes to the jury on Tuesday, and there's certain things that Donald Trump can't do.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Her name is Pam Jahnke. But you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right. And the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM, 107.7 FM in Richland Center. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Jahnke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe, Pam Jahnke, on News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM, 107.7 FM in Richland Center.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And click on the Careers tab.
This is the Shaw,
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you what, the Engoron Letitia James trial for fraud in New York is not the only trial Trump is facing. It's not even the only civil trial Trump is facing. He's facing four criminal trials, but the other civil one is E. Jean Carroll. E. Jean Carroll suing Donald Trump for defamation, for lying about his sexual assault of her. Remember what I said before, defamation. You've heard a lot of terms. You've heard defamation, defamation of character, libel, slander. What does it all mean? There's an overriding tort. It's called defamation. A tort is a non-contractual injury you impose on someone, a car accident, that kind of thing. Libel and slander are the two prongs off of defamation. Libel is written defamation. Slander is verbal defamation. There are slight differences in proof and damages, but basically they're quite similar. There's one exception to what I just said. If you go on TV or radio, it's verbal, and you defame someone, that is libel because of the broad reach of radio and television. And what is defamation? Defamation is saying or writing something that lowers the other person in the esteem of the community. You could say he has a criminal conviction and he doesn't. He has a communicable disease. He doesn't. That kind of thing. That's defamatory. In the case of E. Jean Carroll, Trump sexually assaulted her. She said so, and he said she was a liar and made fun of her. Saying someone's a liar is defamatory. In this case, it was libel because he did it on TV. Now, there already was a trial. He didn't show up. He gave rallies. He gave speeches. Jury came back and nailed him for $5 million. And they found that he had sexually abused her. But there was a question that said, did he rape her? And the jury said, no. Let me explain all of that. He then goes on CNN, I think it was the Caitlin Collins disastrous town hall, and he again says she's a liar, so she sues him again. The difference between rape and sexual assault or sexual abuse is really kind of a matter of terminology. You've heard things mentioned like rape, murder one, first degree murder. These are all layman terms. Rape is first degree sexual assault, second degree sexual assault, et cetera, et cetera. Murder is first degree intentional homicide, second degree intentional homicide, et cetera, et cetera. What he did was he followed her into a dressing room at Berghoff Goodman when there's no one around, threw her up against the wall, put his hand under her skirt into her pants, and he penetrated her with his finger. So the jury apparently felt that as long as he hadn't penetrated her with his penis, that it wasn't rape. That's false. any penetration against the will of the woman is sexual assault, but they nailed them for the sexual abuse. And that's what this is all about. Well, the judge came up with two terrific rulings, and then I see you on the lines, do not hang up, I'll get to you right away. Here are the two terrific rulings. Ruling number one, the excess Hollywood tapes can be played. Remember those from the last campaign or the 2020 campaign, 2016 campaign, excess Hollywood. But he says he goes around, grabs women between the legs. He uses a naughty word for it, and they like it. That's pretty relevant, since that's exactly what E. Jean Carroll had happened to her. And the second thing he said, this is not a do-over. All the facts from the previous jury can't be controverted. So Trump can't get up there and say she's lying and it didn't happen. The only issue before this jury is damages. Trump is frankly in a very, very tough position in this thing because the judge will instruct them. He did this. How much does he owe her for it? And the only question is, will he let Trump say, I've already paid her $5 million? Yeah, but then you shot your mouth off again. Well, he may not even let him do that. So he's in very bad shape. Bob of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling, Bob. What's in your mind today?
Well, I'm thinking, isn't it amazing what can happen where the presidential candidates pick their announcement place? Like Reagan picked Philadelphia, Mississippi, because the two Jews and the black civil rights worker were killed there, and he was identifying with the segregationist South, you know, confirming, you know, the Southern strategy of Nixon, which was muddied by the Wallace thing, kind of put it into place. And then Valley Forge, a sometime soldier, you know, the hard winter of Valley Forge is like the hard winter of going through the pandemic and coming out where we are now and so forth. I think that's a good metaphor in addition to the democracy thing, you know, for the president to choose. But look at what Trump did. He's identifying with David Koresh of Waco, Texas, Ruby Ridge, Waco, the gun nuts and the religious nuts combine in the form of David Koresh, and that's what we're getting out of Trump. So it tells you a lot about the people, where they're coming from.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting insight. It's true that Reagan picked a location where three great civil rights workers had been murdered, and he did that exactly to pander to the South. And I'm not sure how successful that was in overall, simply because the South has really changed quite a bit. You know, there's been a lot of migration, a lot of companies have opened and all that, but that's what he did. And it's true that Biden did something I think is terrific, which is he went to Valley Forge, where George Washington was hunkered down in that cold winter. There was absolutely no indication that he could even feed his troops, arm his troops. Some of them deserted. Some officers conspired to try to replace him as general, but he knew better. He kept them in place, and then he attacked. He attacked, and he drove the British out. And that was a good place for Joe Biden to be. But you're right. Waco, Texas, David Koresh. Because Trump, quite frankly, is insane. Absolutely insane. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and disruption in the Republican ranks over Mike Johnson's deal with Chuck Schumer. No, coming up.
Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artists. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard.